Edition of the Munchies Men podcast. I'm Chris Lau, your host. I've got Eddie and Steve with me. Eddie's up in Toronto, Canada. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Days removed from the game we're going to be talking about, but Champions League is starting tomorrow. I'm excited for the most part because we haven't played that game yet, but I'm feeling good.
Good, good, good. Steve's up in Minnesota. How are you doing, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was not doing well on Saturday afternoon, but, bounced back. Had a nice weekend with the family. It was a long weekend. And, yeah, looking forward to Champions League and looking forward to just what comes with this team going forward.
Great. Yeah, we're a little different for us tonight. We're recording on a Monday night instead of a Sunday night, which is a little bit unique. We both had Labor Day holidays that we celebrated, both in Canada and the U.S., and took a day with our family, and now here we are recording. And so we're a couple days removed, like Eddie said, from the Barcelona match. Sevilla played Barcelona at home and lost 3-0. Goals by, who was it, Lewandowski, Rafinha, and Eric Garcia all scored for Barcelona. And our old boy Koundé, man, 2 assists from that position. He's rocking out in his new colors. And you guys, what did you think about the game? Let's hear it. Eddie, you want to start off?
Sure. Lopetegui again repeating with the diamond that he brought out against Almeria the week before. I think it was very brave going up against Barcelona using a formation we just started playing with, perhaps to get the best out of Isco, who kind of excelled in that role at Real Madrid. It was risky because I don't think we have the midfield for it. Even a midfield three that we play in when we play 4-3-3, I still feel like we're limited. So to go with the diamond is very risky. But we started off well, created some chances, even though a lot of them ended up being offside, but we really created some good chances and a little bit more vertical than usual. So it's like, okay, usually you see a lot of sideways passing, but it was going straight to the forward, straight to Isco, who would find our players and, yeah, created some decent chances. And then we just got hit. And once we got hit, all that magic stopped. But I liked the little bit that we've seen in that first 15, 20 minutes. But as we often see, it's never a full performance from this team. So we still have issues there.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you, I mean, I know we say this every week, but why can't they play more than 20, 30 minutes of football? Is it just that they shut off after the goal, or is it something more strategic? Are they just not fit enough?
It's probably a mental thing, most likely a mental thing. I think it's demoralizing conceding and having a plan that you started with. And perhaps in the second half, you kind of have to adjust to the games and change your style a little bit. You maybe can't press as hard enough, but I don't know. For me, personally, I think it's just mental. I think it's just mental, the fact that they can't fight till the end, and it kind of only comes from certain players. Like, I could see that coming from Papu. Even Carmona was showing some of that fight that the fans were appreciating as well. But there's not enough fight in this team. Maybe they don't feel that way, but that's what it looks like to me. I don't know if you've seen it differently, Steve. Do you like the approach that Lopetegui's taking with how he's trying to change things, or do you think he's not doing enough, or what do you think?
I don't know if I would say I like it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that he is changing things up, and we are not seeing the dull football that we saw for 9 months last season. Most of the discussion on the forum last season was like focused on the fact that we were getting results, we were winning games, we were not losing very many games, but the football that we were watching was just god-awful boring. That's no longer the case, but we're also no longer winning games. So it's like, given the choice between the two, I would much rather get the result and win the game. So I can appreciate the fact that we're changing things up and we're trying something new, but I wouldn't go so far as to say that I like it or I'm happy with the way that Lopetegui is approaching things. In terms of the game itself, this I've said this a little bit. We were talking a little bit before we started recording. Like, this is the first game that I'm all right losing. Like this Barcelona team is a better team than us. I would have liked us to be in a little bit more competitive, but I'm not as disappointed in this game as I am. Well, I'm definitely not as disappointed in this game as I am with the results that we had in our first three games. And a lot of the disappointment that I'm feeling, and I think a lot of the disappointment that the fan base as a whole is feeling right now, is not so much we lost a game to Barcelona. It's we lost three of our first four games and we tied the other one. Like, that's, it's just, everything is compounded at this point, and it's hard to separate us ourselves and our feelings from the fact that we've just been so poor all year. And in terms of the not being able to go full 90, I think the English broadcast that I was listening to, I think three or four times, mentioned a quote that Lopetegui had from I think it was a Almeria post-game press conference, where he was saying that the team seems to have a glass jaw, where they come out really strong, they come out really well, but the moment they take that first hit on the chin, everything just collapses. And they don't know how to get around that and get past that. And the players have shown that they are good, and they've shown that they can play well, and they can string together runs of play that are actually really fun to watch. Like the first half of the Almeria game was really fun. The first 20 minutes of this Barcelona game was really fun. Like, Rakitic had almost had like this really nice goal on off of a very spectacular run of play. Like, it was set up really well and very deliberate. But everything falls apart. I think that there's a question about if that's on the manager, if it's on the players, if it's on, like, who is that on? And it's on all of them. The players are going to take on the mentality of the manager, and the manager needs to be able to have some composure in that moment. And it's on all parties involved need to be able to come together in a way that is level-headed so that we can be successful with it.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, and a lot of stuff. I think it does fall on the players. I mean, the coach is supposed to get you set up, and then once the game starts, right, they always say that, and it's kind of out of the coach's hands. And, you know, but once you get down a goal, it is up to the manager to kind of refocus and take that time. It's hard for us to say what's happening there. I don't know. I think Lopetegui, of course, is getting all the shots. I don't think all of it's deserving. The players need to know that this is it's Sevilla. We demand more, right? Like, and it's not just, I don't think anybody in Sevilla fan base is expecting us to win this game. I mean, past results show that, but we do expect a certain intensity to these type of matches. And normally Sevilla teams bring it. For whatever reason, even in these first four matches, after the 30th minute, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, they just stop bringing it. I don't know what that is. It's really weird dynamic that we're not used to seeing. And I think that just fuels the fire of the fan base saying, Lopetegui, what are you doing? But Lopetegui made the halftime subs, right? I think it was right at halftime. He brought in Carmona, right? And brought off Gudelli and
Gudelli and Jordan came off at halftime.
Yeah, it's right. And Delaney came on for Jordan too. And so, I mean, he made changes. Even was brave enough to bring on Dolberg in the 56th minute, a brand new signing. Yeah. Like, you know, giving him some running time. I don't know if it was the best strategic move. We talked about that a little bit before the podcast. You know, like, where was Rafa Mir there when you're, but at the time you're down three, like, why why, right? Like, you're not going to come back three goals more than likely on this team. So, I don't know. Lopetegui's getting a lot of heat, and some of it's very deserving, but there's a lot of other people that have to answer for this. Players, yeah. Monchi, front office, there's a lot of things that contributed to this. And I think, you know, the fans are still frustrated from how the season ended last year, and it's just a carryover. And I think a lot of people were moving on at the end of last year. We thought we were moving on, and then it just didn't happen. And here we are, and it's just a continuation of that. But to Eddie's point, like, we are playing a little different. We're trying different formations. It's not just the same old Sevilla from last year. It's just not working, and we're not putting the ball in the back of the net. Three goals scored, I think, all year, none in this game. So what changes?
I mean, before we move on to the next thought here, I just want to say, like, I think most of the last four games or the last three podcasts that we did before this, one of us in each one of those, and maybe it was Alex when he joined us a couple weeks ago as well, there's been a recurring theme of, oh, Lopetegui actually didn't manage a bad match. Like, things are fresh, things are moving along. And I think we can acknowledge the fact that, yeah, like, his management decisions in game are seem to be better than they maybe have been in years past, and that maybe the players aren't up to the caliber. Like, there are certain positions on the squad that are definitely not up to the caliber that he's had since he joined us. But at the same time, there's more to managing a football team than managing during the 90 minutes that they're playing a game. And if Lopetegui is not fostering an atmosphere where these players are going to be level-headed and in the right mind as they go into their training, as they go into their day-to-day lives, and as they go into these matches, that is on him as well. And unfortunately, we don't have some kind of magic mirror that we can see into the locker room and we can see into the training pitch. But, like, we can't just write off the other aspects or the other requirements of, you know, managing a football team. And if he's not getting the job done, and ultimately, if we're not successful on the field, like, he is the one that's ultimately responsible for this. Like, he is the manager of the team. Like, he needs to be making changes. If he can't make those changes, then we need to make a change with him. I think we'll talk about it a little bit when we get to the transfer section. There seems to be something weird going on. I don't know what's going on with Monchi. I don't think that we as a group have been as critical towards Monchi's decisions over the last couple of weeks as we probably could have been, or maybe should have been, if you are subscribed to certain trains of thought that are out there that are floating around. But really, the buck has to stop somewhere. And I think most people would say that is the manager, like, that's the coach of the team, is that that's where the buck has to stop, and someone needs to take ultimate responsibility for this. And we don't have anybody that's stepping up. There's nobody that seems to have the integrity to say, like, I need to do a better job with this, or I need to do a better job with that. And that's the frustrating part. There's nobody taking any kind of ownership of this.
The players are, though. Nianzu had a quote yesterday. It was taken from Sid Lowe's column from earlier today. Tanguy saying, we have to be better. We can be better. We're going to be better. When we win a game, everything is going to change. But it's exactly that. When are they going to win a game?
Yeah.
Acuna, yeah. Kind of similar quote, like, you know, three points will change a lot for this team. So,
but I mean, he's trying to change things, but he needs time for it. But I feel like he's running out of that time, and winter is coming. So,
yeah. Right. Like, that's the writing on the wall. And Steve, to your point, I think Monchi for the first time is getting, at least as far as I can remember being a Sevilla fan, Monchi's getting criticized, and some people calling, maybe it's time for him to go, and that sort of thing.
For the first time since he came back, I can kind of see, and I can kind of understand why Roma fans are so upset with him. Like, still to this day, Roma fans are very bitter about him. And if the year and a half that he was gone was like this with Roma, like, okay, like, I can see that.
But that wasn't The Roma fans didn't tell the whole truth on that either.
Oh, no, like, no. But if
the owner that brought him in just never supported Monchi. And Monchi made some controversial decisions. I mean, moving Mo Salah, like that's a huge, huge controversial decision. And you see how he's played since then. So
nobody knew Salah was going to do that, though. Salah was all right at Roma. He became something else when he went to Liverpool. But, yeah. I mean, apologies to Roma fans, honestly, for what happened there with Monchi. It didn't work out. Personally, I wish it happened to Lazio. So apologies to Roma fans. But you could see there are factors that happened in this window where you could kind of give a pass to Monchi because it's not normal. I mean, I know we have mentioned it before, but even Shen said in the boards, he's like, I'm still baffled why we didn't sign Isco earlier so he could gain match fitness and train with the club. He was a free agent since the 1st of July. Yeah. Why did he come in August? I feel like when he was presented, it was kind of to save face because, as you can see, as the last few weeks of the window went, we didn't really get anybody besides Nianzou, who was a defender that was always supposed to be coming, right, to fill in for Koundé, but there wasn't going to be anything or anybody bright coming in, all right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, we kind of have to save face here. Let's go for Isco, still a free agent, and here he is. So I don't think Monchi really had much to work with because we didn't really spend much money in terms of getting players. We only spent the money on the two defenders to replace our starters that left.
Let's be honest.
One and a half so far. Hey, once Marcao starts playing, I think we'll be fine. But again, the time. We didn't spend money besides those two, I don't think.
No.
$70 million in profit. I mean, when it's all said and done. So from the transfers, who knows how everything else settles out. But from transfer market in and out, it's $70 million sitting there in your coffers that most fans don't understand. Like, they see this money, they're like, why aren't you signing? Everybody knew that we're gonna have a lot of money. Like, why didn't you sign? Why did you bring Isco in so late? Why did you bring in the new guy here? I can't even say his name.
Yanezai.
Yeah, like, with another free agent signing that you brought in late, like, granted, more than likely to cover from an injury, Tecatito, yeah. I guess, but you know, as a fan that maybe just looks at some things, why last minute signing? Like, it's hard to answer. And Monchi hasn't done a lot of that answering, like why it happened. So it's been a weird market. And it makes you question why didn't players move that I think Lopetegui probably wanted to move, right? A Torres, a Gudelli. Like, why didn't these guys go somewhere? And is it the quality? Teams just aren't interested. Is it money? Are they happy in Sevilla? Like, but if you're not going to be playing, like, why wouldn't you want to leave? Like, there's a lot of like weird stuff. Go ahead, see.
Why didn't Lopetegui move? It's the same question. Like sure, other teams aren't going to be in, like other teams aren't interested, and then the players and the coach are comfortable in Sevilla and they're making money. Like why would we expect them to leave? Like it's if they're not playing up to the quality that other teams need to be excited about them and bring them in, then like they have all the power. Like they can just camp out. And not that I think that that's what a lot of these players are doing. And a lot of these players are still good players. Don't get me wrong, but like it comes down to the fact that, like, they're comfortable here. Like why? What incentive do they have to leave at this point? Are they going to leave for something better? Sure, they're playing in a squad that was decimated with injuries last year and is off to a very bad start. But we still kick off Champions League football tomorrow or today. It'll be today by the time everybody listens to this. You look at Diego Carlos. Diego Carlos left for a multi-million-dollar pay raise, and he's not playing anywhere right now because he got hurt. But he like he sacrificed Champions League for that. And if you're not getting that super pay raise, like, is it really worth to give up Champions League football?
Maybe the players know Lopetegui's going to be out before they do. So, or before they go. Or it's like, hey, it's going to be a different coach two months from now. So I'm going to take my chances and stay.
And is that why they're shutting down? Like, I mean, that's another mental factor, right? Like,
probably not purposefully, but it's just showing, right?
Yeah. Maybe they want to see a change there. I don't know. It's weird. So we started talking about the champion or the transfer market. And one of those players that I think surprised everybody that moved was Ocampos. I know we talked about Ocampos being on the block and looking maybe to move him out, but folks that aren't Sevilla fans are like, why did Sevilla, get rid of this guy? To them, he was a quality player, outside looking in. So I think that was one of the shock moves from this past week and a weird one too. I don't know, Eddie, you want to get into to what happened on the Ocampos deal, like moving to Ajax?
Yeah, it was a few days removed from the deadline that Ajax was coming in with a 20 million euro offer. And everything seemed fine, that the deal was going to be done. And then the board of directors at Ajax weren't okay with that deal, thinking that he was a bit too old to be spending 20 million on. So the deal seemed to have been, it might have collapsed. So there was a chance that it would collapse, but they came to an agreement that he would go on loan for 4 million and with a 16 million buy option. But it was very close to collapsing, which just adds to the numerous things going on with the team, right? The team really didn't need that. So it just feels like the wheels are falling off at the club because it's like there's so many things. The Marcao injury, right? You're supposed to replace Diego Carlos. Still haven't won a single game in the league. There wasn't an overhaul, right? So you still have players that are here. They might have wanted to move on, namely Nesserim, Gudel maybe. And Lopetegui's still here, all right? So it's like we're pretty much going to get the same thing. And you end the transfer market with Yanez and Dolberg. So Ocampos, I don't know if it wasn't that much of a surprise to me. I feel like something needed to happen because he obviously wasn't at the same level as he was in the first season. Which I thank him for enormously because without him, that first season, none of that would have happened.
And 14 goals, I think, that first season, right? Mm-hmm. Led the team. Like, unbelievable first season.
And this whole project, consequently, right? Yeah. So you're thinking that inaugural season, he's very important. No matter how he played those last two seasons, he still worked his butt off. I know going forward, it wasn't the greatest. But so I just hope he recaptures his form at Ajax. I think it's a good club for him anyway.
Yeah, he's a brilliant player. I mean, I've always been a fan, even when people were down on him. I thought he worked hard, won a lot of fouls and free kicks for this team. And just, he struggled for the form a lot, but just a really good player. And I hope like crazy that he can get into the World Cup squad with Argentina. Like, I really hope that move can help with that. I don't know if it will, but he's always been kind of friends there, but a possibility. But let's see.
Oh no, I was just saying it's. Like, I'm happy for him. Like it's like he needed a fresh start, and he's getting that. I believe he's still playing. Yeah, he's playing Champions League football still. And he's also got a legitimate shot at a league title. Let's be honest. Like, outside of 3 months of last year, like there was never a chance that he was gonna get close to that here in Sevilla. So I hope he can recapture that form. I hope he can prove people wrong, and I hope we get an extra 16 million euro for him.
Yeah, let's hope so. Or he might come back and find his way back into the squad. You never know.
With a different coach.
With
a different coach. Like,
who knows?
Yeah. The other transfer that went out was Munir. One of our longest tenured guys on the squad. I mean, he's been there a while, brought in during
the last Caparros guy left. Yeah,
Caparros, for 1 million euros, what a buy for that guy. Scored some really good goals. Super sub Munir, as Eddie used to call him. And it moved on to Getafe for free. So good for him. Hopefully he can get some form, because he plays an important part in that Morocco squad. And I'm sure they're looking for him to get on the field, get some playing time before the World Cup too. So, yeah, that's the guys that went out. We did make some signings. One we talked about already with Genizai coming in on a free from Real Sociedad. Kind of a unique player, right? Like, started as a starlet at Man U and then kind of lost his way there, and as a lot of people do at Man U, and then got loaned out a couple times and then found his way over to Real Sociedad and played, I think, what, 5 seasons at Real Sociedad before he became a free agent. 27-year-old winger, Belgium, of course, is his nationality. Came over as a free, 132 games with Real Sociedad, scoring 15 goals and assisting on 15. So some production there. And I don't know, anything to add on that, guys, that player?
I guess he dribbles well, better than how Ocampos has been dribbling last couple seasons. So I guess that will help us a little bit. And I guess he's fairly versatile, could play on both wings, could also play centrally. So if we're going to play the diamond, he could play where Lamela's playing as well. So, or the 10 where Isco's playing. But I don't know what Lopetegui's going to do with him. So we'll see. He's not even match fit. So who knows if he's going to play anytime soon.
Yeah. The other guy we brought in, 24-year-old, coming in on loan from Nice, Casper Dolberg. 6'2", kind of big guy there, Danish forward. He's on loan. I think we have a buy option. I don't know exactly the terms of that, but like 16 or 20, I don't know. It's been different rumors. He scored 24 goals in 85 matches with Nice, 45 goals and 16 assists in 119 games when he was with Ajax. So very promising guy when he was with Ajax. Moved over to Nice and just kind of, he had a really good first season there, and it's kind of faltered a little bit, had some injuries. But looking away, you know, looking for a move. He's in the squad now, and I think he's going to be a big player. I mean, his highlight video is awesome. I don't know if you guys seen that or not, but potential to be a real finisher for this team.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. He's kind of a third option there that we have alongside Enesiri and Rafa Mir. And he's more or less, I mean, not more or less, like, I think he's an upgrade over Munir, just because Munir, for whatever reason, couldn't find his way into the squad. So just the best asset is, or the best ability is availability. And if Munir's not making himself available for this team for whatever reason, then we've upgraded there. So, and he seemed excited. He seemed excited in his like interviews and stuff like that to be joining the team. So I don't know. I'm happy he's here.
I still don't know why that wasn't a wide forward kind of player, like a Martial type player. Why was it a third out and out center forward? Sure, a different style to the other two center forwards that we have, but a third center forward when you only play one at a time, it's like, okay, why are we doing this? So I guess it's just further evidence that, okay, we're limited in what our options were, and maybe we're going to, I don't know, maybe we're sticking with this formation and we're going to have two strikers on at certain points. But I'm never a fan of the three center forwards when you're only playing like one striker formations. But we'll see. We'll see if he recaptures that. I think the Nice move was a bit weird for him. But, you know, when players come to Sevilla, you know, something happens. So we'll see.
Yeah, could be a good signing. A lot of upside with it. I mean, he's still 24 years old. Big guy. Yeah. Nimble. Yeah. kind of has that blonde hair and kind of Scandinavian look, if you will, that we might see tomorrow in the Champions League match when we go against the Beast.
Again,
Haaland, we get to face that guy with a much better squad than he played with when we saw him the first time. Oh my gosh, guy scored 4 goals against us. You guys remember that, I'm sure, over the 2 legs.
Yeah,
so you played Dortmund in the round of 16, 2020-2021 season. Just a beast of a player, beast of a team. I mean, just a really, really good team. I don't know how we find our way out. That, of course, is tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Only thing I know about tomorrow is Kyle Walker's out. That's the only thing that I've kind of heard on their squad, but it doesn't matter. Who cares? Haaland, I don't know. I was on some Man City thing, and they were like, what's Lopetegui going to do to stop Haaland? And I was like, there's nothing you can do, right? Like, there's nothing Lopetegui can do. You can't scheme against that guy. And especially when you got players like Kevin De Bruyne like behind him. Like, you just, what do? You can't just quadruple team this guy and leave everybody else because they're just going to burn you. So my suggestion was, spiking his lunch or something with a laxative so he can't play. That's the only thing I got to how you contain him. So, Steve, Eddie, what do you think about the game tomorrow? Any expectations, and what do you think the final scoreline might be?
1-1. 1-1. I believe in Yanzu, man. I believe in Yanzu. It will be difficult, but it's the RSP. Somos el puto Sevilla Football Club. I believe in Yanzu. We have a Fernando on our squad as well. But yeah, it'll be extremely tough. Extremely tough. I don't know who's got a partner in Yanzu, but
we,
I know,
might not have Fernando tomorrow. They actually
the next man up then. Next man up, whether that's Goodell or whoever. Next man up.
Lamella and Fernando might be out for tomorrow. They haven't trained since Saturday, so
that's all right. The players are going to fight, man. It's a bit demoralizing because you saw what he did with against Koundé, Diego Carlos, Fernando, and Bono. So it's like he did it against them. So who really has a chance against him? So it has to come from the collective, and we shall see.
I'm just looking forward to watching this team play.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, I don't think we have a snowball's chance in hell against Manchester City. And that sounds really negative, but Manchester City is miles away the best team that we've faced this season so far. And we weren't able to perform against Barcelona. We weren't able to perform against the three teams that are just, we should be stomping. And we go into this match, and I have no reason to be confident in this. I hope that we are. And I know that and I said this last time, like, I don't have the confidence in the team, but I know the recipe. I know what we need to do. And I know that these players can do it. I just don't have any confidence that we are going to, just based on what I've seen over the first 4 games of the year.
Hopefully it's 100 degrees in Sevilla tomorrow night. That's,
yeah, right.
That's something the only, like that. Only thing that might help. But
the way the competition is structured, like we don't need to be at Manchester City. We need to make sure that we don't get hurt, and we need to make sure that we're still in good form, and we play well against Copenhagen and against Dortmund, and then maybe we can advance out. But like I said, I don't have a whole lot of confidence for this competition when we can't even do anything in the league right now.
That's the thing. It's a big risk to go for it when you're struggling so much in the league. And but a win over Man City shuts up a lot of people if you're Lopetegui. And, I mean, that's a dream that I'm sure we're all thinking about. The good thing is we are going to hear that awesome Champions anthem in the RSP once again. Not as good as Europa in Steve's viewpoint, but it's still nice to hear. And you know, it's going to be a sellout, and you're going to get to see some all-stars, and I don't know. I don't have much confidence that we're going to play well. Especially if Holland plays, man, I give us no chance. If he doesn't play, I mean, we've seen this. We've seen us in the past play really well against really good teams. So you never know. But, man, it's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough. So after that, we go back into the league play on Saturday, 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. We travel to Barcelona to play Espanyol. And a good opportunity for this team to finally get on the board, right? Like, you gotta win this game. I think it's a must-win game for Lopetegui. Being on the road even, but I think he has to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a must-win because the other games aren't easy. That's probably the easiest game, quote-unquote easy game, in the next 2 months, right? Out of the away matches, but come on. I mean, if you don't win that, then I don't know what your where the 3 points are going to come from. They could still come against the other teams, but with that one, you have to get the 3 points there.
Yep, we're entering a very difficult stretch between now and the World Cup, really. Like, it's the entirety of the group stage for Champions League is going to be basically all of them, what, the next 8 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Is all the group stages. And then we somehow have to find a way to claw our way back in the league as well, because right now, if things progress the way that they are, we are definitely in very dire straits in the league, and we could be looking at the after the first of the year, are we going to be competing for some kind of European championship, or are we going to be trying to compete against relegation? We need to make progress in leaps and bounds in multiple different competitions right now, and I don't know how we're going to do it.
Monty says, "Don't worry, he's got it under control." So, can we still believe in Monty? That's the question, and I think we have to. I mean, that's all we got.
It's off Monty's hands now. He's done his job, right?
He can still fire the coach. That's pretty much all he has right now. And we can still bring in free transfers. Who knows? Is there something else out there? Someone under free?
Oh, Diego Costa is not available anymore.
I saw that to say, too.
But I don't know. Colo, I saw, you know, one of those, I guess, with the gurus from this summer, like, we might get Colo Sejak coming back. Remember him? French center back that was here during the Emery years.
Yeah, Tim, right?
Yeah.
Timothy.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening, but
no.
He's a free agent still.
He couldn't get picked up. I met his brother. His brother was awesome. Charlie is his name.
You're right though. Like, Munchie doesn't have any cards up his sleeve at this point. Like, there's no sleeves to put cards up, frankly, other than the coach decision. And if we want to move on from him, we can do so at any time. Like, we know what it will cost in very real terms. Like, it's spelled out in his contract. Like, that is what it will cost for us to move on. And then we have to pay whoever is going to be coming in, unless Monchi is just going to coach the team as well. But
Caparros.
Right. Yeah. Just bring him back. Like, God, what would you God, just can 20 you years that, from now, I swear we're going to fire our coach and we're going to like wheel in Caparros, like Weekend at Bernie's style, and just be like, all right, here's your coach. Like, it's just, that is the last card that he has to play. And I think we're all kind of anticipating it. And with at least me, like, I have like a hopeful anticipation, but I'm still skeptical because I don't know who we're like, if we move on from him, it's going to cost us a pretty penny. And I don't know who we're going to replace him with. We've seen rumors of Pochettino. And that's intriguing to me in terms of like what we could do on the pitch with him and like what he could bring to the team. But I don't know if we can afford him. Probably not, with what he might be asking. And he's bound to have other offers coming in out there from other clubs in Premier League. Maybe they've got a bunch of teams that are struggling with their coaches right now. There's just a lot of other options, and is he even interested? I don't know. So
lots of rumors, lots yeah. of conversations, lots of sideline conversations from Sevilla fans and forums, and nobody yeah. knows. There's only a few people that know, and that's Monchi in front office, and I'm sure they've got plans, but they have to. You're not doing your job if you don't have scenarios lined up. And what's the straw that breaks the camel's back? It doesn't have to be a big straw right now. I don't think it's coming. And if they don't find some way to win at Espanyol, I don't even think a draw is good enough. I think the hammer's coming down pretty quick. It's going to be tough at Espanyol. I mean, they've got a really quality squad there with three center forwards already. Really good center forwards.
But don't they play 4-4-2? I think that's...
I don't know.
I mean,
Diego
Martinez,
the guy that we rumored to maybe be in for the summer.
Diego Martinez.
I mean, he's not doing all that great in Espanyol right now either, though. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, they got their first win, so... Yeah. They're doing better than us. They're on 4 points to our one. So, big game, man. Big game tomorrow. I hope everybody's going to enjoy it the best we can. I hate we're so doom and gloom. I really want to be on a winning streak so we can have some fun and party. Shout out to the man on my background. Hopefully, everybody can recognize that fella. Big 45th birthday this week for him on September 2nd. Freddie Canute. Happy birthday, my friend. If anybody out there can get him on the podcast one day, we would love it. I think we'd all lose our mind. But one of the best humans that I've ever seen play, not just football, but great humanitarian. Just overall nice guy, seems like. And one of the best to be a players that I think we've ever had. So happy birthday to that fella. Guys, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Y nunca te rindas. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm not at it. So it's on you, man. We knew you were the hardest one. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, okay, nunca te rindas or nunca nos rendimos. And I'm like, I fell in between and it was a mess. So keep all the design.